welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad that you tuned in today, and we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would invite you, if you can, to take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we study God's Word today. Or if you can, maybe you can take a pencil and a piece of paper and jot down the Scriptures as we go along and go back and read the Scriptures and study the things that we talk about today. Also, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you information about how you can get in touch with us if you should have any questions or comments about the broadcast. We'll also be giving you the address of our church, and we would love to have you come and visit with us at Grace Bible Church. The times of the services and so forth will be given to you at the end of the program. We're going to be talking today and in the several weeks following about some things that are very important as far as the Word of God is concerned. The name of our program is Understanding Your Bible, and I believe that that is very important. It's one of the most important things in the world today for people is that they learn how to understand their Bible. So many people today seem to believe that the Bible is a deep, dark, mysterious book full of secrets and things that are that can't be understood, but this just isn't the truth. The Bible, God's Word, is at times there are passages that are hard to understand, and we may not understand the interpretation of them, but overall, the Bible is a very simple book to understand if we're willing to believe the words mean what they say to whom they say it. I believe that the key to understanding your Bible is found within the Bible itself. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We have a chart here that we use on the broadcast most every time that we prepare a Bible lesson. And the chart outlines what we mean when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. If you look at the chart and have it on the side of the board here, the Old Testament, that would represent all the scriptures of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. Then we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books, obviously, cover the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry. That ministry ends in the death at Calvary. And then in the book of Acts, the first eight chapters record the ministry of the 12 as they carry out the ministry given them by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and we're told in Ephesians chapter 3 that he is given the dispensation of the grace of God. The next 13 books in your Bible are Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. And those books tell us about the dispensation of the grace of God. And in those books, we find the gospel of the grace of God that was committed to Paul. We find that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We find the dispensation of grace. And we find truth related to the church, the body of Christ. And then, in Hebrews through Revelation, we find that the doctrine of these books will match up with that of the kingdom gospel in Matthew through John. Now, that's a very brief overview of rightly dividing the word of truth. And what I want to talk to you about today is something that is really fundamental to understanding your Bible, and that is understanding the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul said, now in verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Now, in religion today, most everybody talks about and preaches about Jesus Christ. Much of the teaching today centers around the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the life of Christ. And there's a lot of emphasis put on Christ's miracles and the things that He did during His earth walk. But the Apostle Paul gives us the revelation committed to him, and he calls it the revelation of the mystery, and he calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And he says that we're to be established according to his gospel. Now, this is very important. I want you to understand in the very beginning that we don't worship the Apostle Paul. I do not believe that Paul's writings are any more inspired than any other writer in the Bible. But I believe that it's important that we recognize and understand that there are certain portions of the Scripture that are written directly to us. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable, the Bible says, for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so all Scripture is equally inspired. All Scripture is profitable. But you know, it's evident today that not all Scripture is written directly to us. For example, the Old Testament Scriptures deal primarily with the nation Israel and the law of Moses that was given to them to govern their life. There is nobody today that practices really keeping the law of Moses as it's laid out in the Old Testament. Now, there are some that claim to do that, and they put emphasis upon certain things, such as Sabbath worship and that kind of thing, but there's nobody that's really keeping that Old Testament law. Then you get over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As I mentioned a moment ago, those books tell us about the life of Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. As a matter of fact, as He sends the 12 out during that ministry, He tells them not to go into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we see that that ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John deals primarily with the promised kingdom to the nation Israel. They reject Christ and He's crucified. In the early part of Acts, they receive the Holy Spirit to carry out the ministry that Jesus Christ has taught them to carry out, and that is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But there's something happens in Acts chapter 9, and that's the salvation of a man called Saul. Later, his name is changed to Paul. But Saul is persecuting that church at Jerusalem. He's consenting to the death of those that are preaching the resurrection of the dead. And on the road to Damascus, Paul is approached by the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees a light, and he hears a voice, and he says, "What wilt thou have me do?" And the Lord begins to reveal to Paul what he is to do. We find that in the book of Acts that the ministry, after Acts 15, it shifts from the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to that of the Apostle Paul. And then, interestingly enough, we find that the next 13 books in the Bible are Paul's epistles. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, I want to talk to you about Paul, our apostle. Because it's only through the Apostle Paul that we have truth for the church, the body of Christ today. And the doctrine that we have given to us through the Apostle Paul is that which reveals unto us very important truth, particularly concerning salvation. In Romans chapter 11, the first book that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says there in verse 13, "I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, notice that Paul here is not magnifying himself. We saw in Romans 16, he called the gospel his gospel, but it was only because it was the gospel that was committed unto him. Over in Romans chapter 15, in verse 16, again the Apostle Paul makes a reference to his ministry. He said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Now, that's very interesting what Paul says there in Romans chapter 15, because earlier in the chapter, in verse 8, that he says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was called a minister of the circumcision. Christ's earthly ministry was to the circumcision, that is the Jewish nation, Israel. And the Bible says that his ministry was to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, as I quoted a moment ago, Matthew chapter 10, we find that not only was Jesus Christ's ministry to the circumcision, but those he sent out, he sent to the circumcision. He said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And you can read that in Matthew chapter 10. But when Paul is saved, Paul says, very specifically, that he is the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles would include all those who were outside the covenants of promise, all those to whom the promises were not made through Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. He is the minister of the Gentiles, while Jesus Christ and Peter are said to be ministers of the circumcision. I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the gospel that was committed unto him. And he says there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." In other words, Paul makes again a very direct statement. in reference to the fact that he was a minister of the uncircumcision. That is, to the Gentiles, to those who were outside the covenants of promise. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to notice about that. When Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples, were taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were taught by the Lord face to face during his earthly ministry. But when Christ died, was buried, and was raised again the third day, he left the 12 there to carry out the commission that he had given unto them. Of course, Matthias took Judas's place and became the 12th apostle. But God, for some reason, revealed unto the apostle Paul some things that he had not revealed previously. The reason he did that is because there was a program that God had whereby all men could be saved that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. That's what Paul talks about, the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret from the before the foundation of the world. So I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 1 that the apostle Paul is very emphatic concerning the fact that his ministry and the gospel that he preached is by direct revelation. He says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." In other words, Paul did not go and get the gospel that he preached from Peter, or James, or John, or any of the other apostles. Paul received the gospel that he preached by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he did that is because the gospel was not the same that Peter and James and John were preaching. He goes on to say, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." That revelation was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And so Paul is very emphatic that he received the gospel by revelation. As a matter of fact, over in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now, if you want to read an account of that meeting that Paul had with those at Jerusalem, you can read that in Acts chapter 15. But it's interesting here that Paul makes it very clear that when he went up to Jerusalem, that there was an issue about that which he had been preaching. And so he communicated unto them that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles. That gospel had to be communicated unto them because they didn't know it. You see, many people today think it's a very strange thing when they hear a preacher talk about the fact that Paul preached a different gospel than Peter. Well, they both preached the death of Christ. They both preached the burial of Christ, and they both preached the resurrection. But when Paul preached that gospel, he extended that truth to include the fact that when Christ died on that cross, he died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says, "Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures." So Paul's revelation was the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that he derived on his own or from the 12 or from anybody else. He received it by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul received that revelation, he wrote it down in the 13 books that God has preserved in His Word, Romans through Philemon. When Paul received that revelation, he received the revelation of the gospel that I mentioned a moment ago. Back in Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking about the ministry that he received of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, he said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, when Jesus Christ was on earth, and he was talking to Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples shortly before his death, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." That gospel of the kingdom was the good news that the king had come. And so Peter preached that gospel, and we find that recorded in Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. He says, "You have by wicked hands taken and crucified and slain the one whom God sent to you as Messiah." And he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now I want you to think about something. In religion today, there's a lot of confusion about Acts chapter 2. There are those that say that the verse should read, Repent and be baptized because of the remission of sins. Well, folks, you don't have to change the words of the verse in order to make them fit your doctrine if you rightly divide the word of truth. For when Peter preached these words, what he was saying was by direct instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said in Mark chapter 16, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. You see, under that kingdom program given to the nation Israel, water baptism was a requirement. It wasn't optional. It wasn't just for a testimony. It was a requirement. And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But when Paul preached the gospel, he simply said that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again the third day. So when Paul received his revelation, he received the revelation from Jesus Christ because God was in the process of changing the program whereby he was dealing with men from the law and the kingdom program to that of grace. And during that transitional period during the book of Acts, we find that the program changes over from the preaching of the 12 and the doctrine of the kingdom to the doctrine given to the Apostle Paul, which he calls the revelation of the mystery. Paul received that gospel by revelation. In that revelation, Paul received the gospel of the grace of God. He said his ministry was to testify that gospel of the grace of God. And Paul also received the dispensation of the grace of God. We find that in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you." Now listen, there is nobody else in this Bible that makes that statement. There is nobody else in this Bible that says that the dispensation of the grace of God was given unto them. You know why that is? Because it wasn't. It wasn't given to anyone but the Apostle Paul. It was given by revelation of Jesus Christ as God revealed to the Apostle Paul from heaven this mystery. He goes on to there, he says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What is that? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, back in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul makes it very clear that these Ephesians were outside the covenants of promise. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You see, Paul does not tell the Ephesians that they were without hope because they were doing bad things. He does not tell them that they were without hope because of certain sins they were committing. He said, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." Remember what we said? When Christ sent out the 12, who did he send them to? He sent them to the Jew. He sent them to Israel. And he sent them to those who blessed Israel, who were part of that covenant relationship with God Almighty. When God promised Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll bless those that bless you, that included the Jews and any Gentile who would fear God, work righteousness, and bless Israel. But there was a whole group of another Gentile body, and those were the ones like Paul's writing to in Ephesians. And he said, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and so those people would not have been saved under Peter's ministry, and so God gave Paul the dispensation of the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, to proclaim a message whereby all men can be saved. The Bible says that it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, we have a glorious truth revealed to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul. That truth is that today, all men, without exception, can be saved simply by believing the gospel of the grace of God. That is, Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. So Paul was given the dispensation of grace, and Paul preached salvation by grace throughout his ministry, and he has told us to do exactly the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, in verse 8 and 9, very familiar passages, but some that we need to always take to heart and realize the significance of these. He says, for by grace, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 12, Paul says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see, folks, today, the reason that there's so much confusion about salvation is because people confuse the salvation of the nation Israel with the salvation of the church. They put people under the law. They tell people you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. People will tell you that you've got to turn over a new leaf, that you've got to become a better person, that you've got to invite Jesus into your heart. Well, you know, the Bible is our authority. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe the gospel. You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then he tells us what that gospel is. That gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, there's a great declaration there, and it has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ was made sin for us. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when Paul was given this gospel of the grace of God, it was revealed unto Paul, for him to reveal unto us, by his writings, that which Christ accomplished at the cross. You see, Peter understood that Jesus Christ had died as the Lamb of God. He recognized that Jesus Christ had been buried and had been raised again from the dead. But you know, when Peter preached in Acts chapter 3, he made it very clear that as far as he was concerned, the purpose of that resurrection was that Jesus Christ was going to return to sit upon the throne of David. But when Paul writes about the resurrection, he said that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And we find out what that is in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, because he said he was raised for our justification. You see, the reason that we put emphasis upon the revelation given to the Apostle Paul is because God puts emphasis upon that. You find things revealed by Paul about the Lord Jesus Christ and about you as a saved individual that you won't find revealed anywhere else in the Bible. You find that we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all heavens. You find that when Christ died on that cross, that He became our sin. and that we received His righteousness. We find out that Jesus Christ, when He died, He didn't die just for the nation Israel. He didn't die just for the elect, as some people teach today. He died for all men. Where do we find those things? We find those truths in Romans through Philemon, the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. So do we worship Paul? Absolutely not. But we do recognize the position that God gave the Apostle Paul and the authority that He gave him when He revealed unto him the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. And we do exactly what the Apostle Paul said he did in Romans chapter 11. He said, I magnify mine office. The key to understanding your Bible is to acknowledge that today God has spoken through His Word, but He's spoken specifically to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul, that is, Romans through Philemon. And the most important truth associated with all of that is the truth that relates to how people are saved today in this present dispensation. Today, people are saved by believing the gospel of the grace of God. And you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been convinced that you needed to walk the aisle or join the church in order to be saved, I would invite you today to consider the scriptures that we've read here on this broadcast and look in the Bible and see what saith the Scripture. The Bible is clear. You are not saved by anything that you can do or have done in the past. You're saved by believing the truth of the gospel that was delivered through the Apostle Paul, and that is that Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and was raised again the third day. If you'll believe that and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll save you right now. Would you do that?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.